Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The second period, we didn't play as well as we're capable. You know, we start off the very first shift. We take a penalty, and then it snowballs from there. We take two penalties in the first 6 minutes of the second period, and we lose momentum. And so we've got to have a little bit more pushback in those situations.
Mike Sullivan, after last night's loss to the Ducks and the way this thing has gone here, blow a two-goal lead against Boston on Friday, you come back and win in regulation. Blow a two-goal lead against the Kings Saturday night, you need to go to overtime to seal the deal. Last night, you blow a two-goal lead and you lose outright. And let me just say that there's no better way to celebrate the holidays and bring in 2019, stop laughing, Chris, than with the exclusive fan merchandise made by Fanatic Impressions. Chris just was looking at putting that in somebody's stocking.
I actually,
based on a off-air conversation.
Let me tell you right now.
You can visit 937thefan.com/store now to buy yours today.
Somebody on my list is getting some fan gear for Christmas. There you go. That's happening.
It's not Jason Mackey.
Nah, Cole.
They've
for
never
him.
Exchanged gifts, Chris and Jason. That would be weird.
No, we have a love of music. Maybe a Jason Isbell vinyl.
Jason put together a list of the top five Christmas movies in his latest Post-Gazette piece, but I don't want to talk about that right now. Maybe later. I want to talk about how Jason, Chris, on Sunday absolutely ripped me to shreds because I had the gall on KDKA-TV to say that the Penguins had not turned the corner, that they were still in a funk, that they were still an up-and-down team. One night they beat the Bruins. The night before that, they lose to the Blackhawks. And I was excoriated by Mackey for having that take. And now here he is before us after the Penguins blow a two-goal home lead to the Anaheim Ducks. Jason, what do you have to say for yourself?
One, I didn't excoriate you. I take issue with that. Although you were way more down on them than I am.
I said they're an average team. That's what they are. That's what the record says. You are what your record says. Bill Parcells. Look them up, Jason.
And I don't think I said they were a... Did I proclaim that they were going to win?
You said they've rounded the corner. What corner is that?
They've turned a corner.
Which one?
They've turned a corner.
Give me the corner they've turned.
They stunk. They stunk. I didn't know they were named. They were terrible at the beginning of the season. They've improved.
So they have rounded that intersection of awful and stunk. They've rounded that corner is what you're telling us.
And the GPS is telling us that they're close to mediocre. They're heading up right up to Mediocre Boulevard and Average Drive right now.
Look, you get from terrible to mediocre. I mean, that's a corner.
Yeah.
It's not,
as Clint Hurdle likes to say, you do mediocre long enough, you get a 3-year contract extension. But that's neither here nor there.
Oh, man. No. Listen, I'm not taking issue with what you're saying. I agree that they're an average team. I'm just saying there have been some signs of progress lately.
Give me one.
Brian Rust is scoring again. The goaltending has been better. They have the third pairing with Marcus Pettersson and Jack Johnson. And I'm not trying to, like, you know, explain to you that the Penguins are a great team now because they have a good third pair. I mean, I'm just citing, you know, modest levels of steps forward here. You know, they've
baby
been
steps
winning
with
games.
The Penguins,
Andrew,
Chris.
They've been winning games. I don't know how we can't say they've turned a corner. They have what, won 8 of, I don't know, 15, 16, something like that. I mean, that is an improvement from the disaster that they were at the beginning of the season. Yes, they're still flawed. Yes, there are issues. They're blowing leads. They're getting entirely too comfortable. Some of it is, you know, plays like Jake Gensel last night, just careless with the puck, doing stupid stuff that you wouldn't think should be happening in late December. They're still doing it, and it's problematic, but things have improved.
Jason, do you get any sense that accompanying that improvement, and I sort of hate asking questions about stuff like this, but I will anyway, Do you get the sense that they are getting a little of that we're the Penguins swagger to their game now with commensurate improvement that you're going to start seeing this team or that the vibe around this team is, yeah, all right, we're going to get this together here and start getting on a roll, or no?
Yeah, I mean, I think they had some of that we're the Penguins swagger at the beginning of the season, and it got them in trouble, and it's still getting them in trouble. I'm not sure it's all a good thing. I think, you know, in a way, it's better to just put your head down and go to work and kind of be a little bit boring and not puff your chest out and think you can conquer the world. I think that's part of their issue. Sometimes the best play is not a sexy one, and Mike Sullivan has tried to do that with them. There's a fine line there, and I think they have – Tony's going to flip out again, but I think they've turned a corner with some of how they've handled themselves here. It's not – totally there yet. They have to sort of walk that tightrope a little bit.
They're on the corner of swagger and humility, trying to decide which direction to turn.
Jason Mackey, our Penguins insider. Can you explain to me why Matt Murray didn't play last night?
You know what, Andrew? I really can't. I was as stunned to see that as you guys were. I thought that was the time where you play Murray. You got to get him established. You got to, or if he isn't capable of being your number one, you need to know that too. The only thing I can give you, and this is what Sullivan told us publicly, is that they do have a lot of games and that they're going to, you know, kind of there will be enough time for both guys. I do think he's going to be pretty liberal with that. And I think the reason is that they're going to try to let the goaltenders sort of dictate who plays and which direction this goes. So I expect to see Matt Murray in the net tomorrow in Washington, probably definitely Casey DeSmith back against Minnie, and then their weekend game in Carolina would probably track toward a Murray start. And you would anticipate at that point, at least, that we may know a little bit more.
Jason, do you get any sense that Mike Sullivan's resolve as far as Matt Murray being his guy for sure, in most, you know, the way people look at it, has waned at all? That Casey DeSmith could actually play his way into being the number one goalie here, even for the rest of the season?
Not whatsoever. Not whatsoever. And Murray is Sullivan's guy. They want him to get that job. I mean, he's Rutherford's guy, too.
What do you think it was like for Jim Rutherford?
Rutherford's huge fan of him.
Oh, we might have lost Jason here. We got you, Jason. You there? No, we got to have to – hold on. Let's
hold
put
on.
Him on hold.
We're going to throw him back on hold. Craig, get your head out of the betting sheets.
I'll just come clean and say that I hung up on him because I was over Jason's act. First, he rips me on TV.
I don't know why you would. Why we love having him on. You'd have to be a lunatic to hang up on the man in the middle of something like that. Why would you do that? I'd subscribe to anything Jason had to say about the Penguins.
Jason, we lost you there on the whole. Is Sullivan and Matt, is Murray still Sullivan's guy? Question.
Yes, he is. He is, and he's Rutherford's guy as well. They want to see him come back and win this job. And something against Casey DeSmith, but you know, I've had numerous people tell me that we know we need to get Matt back as our number one. Matt needs to be the guy. And I think what Sullivan's trying to handle here is they're also in a position, as you were talking about, Andrew, too, and you know, I agree with you, that they got to win games. They got to win games and get points, and Casey DeSmith's done a good job of that. And I would say the third thing that goes into that is they don't want to overwork Matt. They want him to be fresh for the playoffs, and so they're just fine being a little bit liberal with Casey right now.
What's the deal with Evgeny Malkin? Like, I know it's been one multi-point game in the last month or so, approximately, and I look at him and I just see a guy who has made many, even for him, uncharacteristic errors. So what's going on with this guy?
Well, Chris, I actually thought last night's game was probably his best in the last little while. Not that that explains away the previous ones. I think he's pressing big time. I think Evgeny Malkin internalizes what's going on with the team a lot more than he maybe lets on. I don't think he's all that great at like channeling his emotions. When he gets mad, when he tries, it sometimes comes out in really dumb ways. You know, you're taking third period penalties or forcing plays that aren't there. But I do think it's a sort of a byproduct of a care factor and just trying to, single-handedly do things himself when it necessarily isn't the best way to go about it. But I was encouraged by what I saw last night. I thought he was using his teammates a lot more, not necessarily, you know, just turning the puck over, doing stupid stuff. The Penguins as a whole did a lot of that last night, but I thought Malkin was a lot better.
So we're talking to Jason Mackey, our Penguins insider, who no one is going to confuse with Roger Ebert by the time this interview is over. You have Home Alone and Home Alone 2 in your top three Christmas movies of all time?
What's wrong with that?
Home Alone 2's terrible. Give me the plot.
Home Alone 2 is terrible.
Yes. Go to Rotten Tomatoes. You think they're giving it a high rating? It's probably like 6% fresh. It's awful.
I'm not going to Rotten freaking Tomatoes. It's a Christmas movie. I like it. It's funny.
Yeah, I was cackling.
Home Alone 2, man.
Jason, have you sampled actual good cinema?
What did you say it would be? 6%?
Yes.
30% on Rotten Tomatoes, pal.
I'm sorry.
Oh.
How about, Jason, how about It's a Wonderful Life, for crying out loud?
That movie sucks.
A real movie. A real Christmas movie. Die Hard, I would have accepted here.
Die Hard and Christmas Vacation.
As a quasi-Christmas movie.
No, Die Hard and Christmas Vacation are 1 and 2, and the rest don't matter.
Home Alone 2.
Tony, if you have to pick one here. Christmas Story or Christmas Vacation?
I've watched A Christmas Story probably 10 to 20 times. I think I've only seen Christmas Vacation once, so I'm going to say Christmas Story here.
Terrible take by you.
That is my point. I don't even need to debate this any further.
Jason, you know what? That's a hammer by you.
Hold on. You saw Home Alone 1, and you turned that movie off, and you said, I can't wait for Home Alone 2. I hope they tie up all the loose ends from Home Alone 1. They bring back the same cast of characters and do this all over again, because this was a joy to watch.
With the addition, by the way, of an Academy Award-winning performance by the Pigeon Lady, I mean, you brought the talk boy into it. Come on, Andrew. It's an incredible.
Is it Daniel Stern's best movie? Is Home Alone Daniel Stern's finest performance?
I don't even know who Daniel Stern's is.
Stern.
Who's that?
You don't know who Daniel Stern is?
He's the other guy who's not Joe Pesci in Home Alone.
Oh that guy?
Malzie, I would nominate the Wonder Years narration for Daniel Stern's best performance if I must. I'm sure Andrew hasn't seen the Wonder Years.
I have.
63% for Home Alone on Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah.
Macaulay Culkin rounded the corner in Home Alone 1.
I cannot
and he set
believe,
himself
Pony.
Up for a great performance.
Pony, we're all friends
Alone
here,
2.
But your Christmas Story over Christmas Vacation take is absolute garbage.
Put it on Twitter. I bet Christmas Story wins a poll.
I bet you it gets destroyed.
Jason, have fun in D.C.
I will. Thanks.
Don't
God,
lose your kids. I'll see you. There you go, Jason Mackey.
Kevin.
Not good. That was one of those movies that when I was 9, I loved. And when you go back and watch it a second time, you're like, man, was I an idiot. It's a kid's movie that expires as entertaining.
Roger Ebert.
As soon as you hit puberty.
Roger Ebert crucified that movie in his review, saying that the first like hour is a good heart, like a family story that they've developed. And then he says, and then they basically get rid of all of that with the last half hour, which is like torture porn.
Good for Roger Ebert. I trust him a little bit more than Jason Mackey. How do you not put It's a Wonderful Life in your top
five? It's a Wonderful Life's a bad movie.
Well, that tells me everything I need to know about you, Chris.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.